It's good to see everybody. I'll give you a thumbnail sketch of yesterday. About 8 or 10 of us went up in 4 cars yesterday from here to McRae, Georgia. And they're in the thriving metropolis of McRae. We got to put up shop in the fellowship hall and part of the educational building at First Baptist McRae. And we had a chance to serve people. We had Dr. O'Keary and all of his resources that went with us and helped us organize, and people that he knows. And we merged a lot of people who had a desire to serve. There were people there in McRae who had a desire to serve, those that we took that desired to serve. And the whole thing came together in a seamless opportunity to share the love of Jesus and do it in a tangible way. Sometimes it was simply through listening. Sometimes it was through praying with somebody. Sometimes it was through a doctor, you know, or one of the nurse practitioners or a pharmacist, just assisting and helping. There were just many ways that we had an opportunity to reach out yesterday. And we, honestly, we got served too. I can't tell you how great and hospitable the people there were for us. They provided breakfast for us, lunch for us, and we were just well cared for. And it was a great day, great day altogether. So you know, today we come kind of in one of those days where it's like, man, yesterday was a good day. It was a handful of a day, but you know, here we are. We get to celebrate a little bit today. And enjoy looking back on what God did. Met a lot of new people, and that was a great experience. So John's showing you the slideshow, which I'm glad he's doing that. I appreciate that. Aaron, Harvey, and Brown. Thank you. Aaron Brown, she took many, many pictures. Dusty gave her the camera. You know, you guys know that's a very responsible job. When Dusty gives you his camera, that's a big thing. So there were a lot of people there, and you can see that it was quite a symphony of different people, different gifts, different skills. But we all came together and God used that. It was great. Oh, that was a good picture. And Daniel went and he helped us do everything that we needed him to do. I can't tell you. He did just about everything we could ask him to do. It was a great day. It's just a good day. Well, today, I feel like I need to share with you sort of a messy message, I have to tell you. You know, and the reason it's kind of messy, I think, is because it's about life, because life is most of the time kind of messy for us. It's not neat. It's not pristine and perfect. It's not antiseptic. Life, we encounter things we don't know what to deal with. We can't explain. We don't know why. We know that we have faith that God has a purpose for what's going on, but we don't see why many times. And when we don't see why, a funny thing happens to us. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you today about. I'm going to read a passage, and then I'm going to ask John to pop the PowerPoint up there for a minute. I've been reading through the Psalms, and today I came for this. And I said, you know, Lord, you just kind of, this is what I'm talking about today. And there's several passages we're going to look at today. We're going to do this a little differently. This is the only one I'm going to read. So you're going to have to get your Bibles out because some of you are going to be reading today. This is Psalm 119. That's that big psalm, the one that's really big in the middle. Somewhere in the middle where Psalm 119 follows the Hebrew alphabet. If you didn't know that, it does. That's why there's a little heading that has a little Hebrew character, and the name of the Hebrew character is Kaf. So I'm looking at Psalm 119, 81, and following that little section. This is where many of us feel these days. And there are more and more and more who, as we come to this psalm, this expresses the heart of many of us and many people we know. My soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word. My eyes fail, looking for your promise. I say, when will you comfort me? Though I am like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your decrees. How long must your servant wait? When will you punish my persecutors? The arrogant dig pitfalls for me, contrary to your law. All your commands are trustworthy. Help me, for men persecute me without cause. They almost wipe me from the earth, but I have not forgotten your precepts. Preserve my life according to your love, and I will obey the statutes of your mouth. That first couple of passages there, my soul faints for longing for your salvation. How many of you know people right now who are overwhelmed in life? I know a lot of people. How many of us here this morning have lately had our share of being overwhelmed in life? It would be wonderful if there were these nice, neat, cutesy little answers that could solve all those problems. But that's not the life that we live in, nor the way that God gives us. It's a lot messier than that. So I wanted to look at a couple of questions as we got started, because I want to talk about being overwhelmed. Because I don't know a lot of people who are talking about being overwhelmed. Many people are, but there's not many people that are talking about it in a way that's honest. It's too easy. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. You won't be overwhelmed anymore. And that's just not true. That's not fair. That's not honest. Life is not that way, and God is not that way. So we need to talk about being overwhelmed. I want to look at a couple of questions. I want to ask you. I need you to respond. Question number one. Why does God allow us to be overwhelmed with circumstances? Yeah, He loves us, Daniel. You're right. Why does God... So, does that make sense? It makes sense to you? Well, you're brilliant. Because it doesn't always make sense to me. If God loves me, why does He allow me to be overwhelmed with circumstances? Don. So you can realize that you are not able to deal with all of that. Thank you, Don. That you are above your pay grade. Be closer to God. How does being overwhelmed make you closer to God, Don?
Because you depend on Him for everything that you do or come through on circumstances. Because if you do that faith, overcome it and keep going with it.
You've got nowhere else to go, do you? So you better realize who's in charge. Even if you don't like the way He's in charge right now. Does that make sense to you?
It does me.
and you're living it. You're living it. Yes, sir. Anything else you can think of? Why does God allow us to be overwhelmed with circumstances? Those are excellent answers. Anything else you think of? teach us not to take on too much. Okay? And we like to do that, don't we? Because we like to feel like we're in charge and we're in control. Right? We can make it happen, right? Be patient and to wait. That's a tough one, isn't it? The wait part. Stephen. We seek Him more intently when we sense that we have a need that we can't do anything about. So we get closer, right? That's kind of an indictment against us, isn't it? Terry. We find how faithful God is when we're overwhelmed. Yes, Claudia. Yes. Being overwhelmed is where our pride meets humility. And it's hard to be humble. And it's hard. Go, Ms. Donna. Yes, ma'am. That's true. They're not necessarily, are they? Yes. It's all a testing, proving challenge, isn't it? But the overwhelming part with certain, and we can be, have you ever been overwhelmed with good stuff? Claudia, I hear you. I hear you. You could take a month like that, couldn't you? You could take a month like that. Yeah. That's right. All right, John, go to the second question. So is it a sin to feel overwhelmed? Come on now. Okay. See, that's the answer that we know. But how do we live? Okay? Because you know what? Can I be honest with you? You know, Dusty and Dane and I, we get like front row seat to watch people disengage. And the reason they disengage is many times because they are overwhelmed and they go crawl in a hole. Why? When we're overwhelmed, do we go do that? That makes sense? One of the reasons why is because of shame. If God is God, and if I'm a follower of God's, I believe in Jesus, I believe He's got the power and the might to do all this stuff, why isn't He doing it for me? And there's the accuser that comes to accuse God's people to say, you aren't who you said you were. There's nothing there. There's nothing in you. And then what you do and what I do when we take that tack is we withdraw. And we become even more susceptible to the enemy than we were before. Because we believe, we know it's not a sin to be overwhelmed. Because we can look in the Bible, we can see the stories of all those people who were overwhelmed, right? And we know that God did amazing things in those people's lives, right? But I'm different. Forrest. We can certainly respond incorrectly to our being overwhelmed, can't we? And that's one of the things that is incorrect is withdrawing and pulling back from God, from God's people, from God's provision in our lives, right? We can suck ourselves right out. So even though we know it's not a sin to be overwhelmed, we behave like it is. Stephen. We despair. Okay. Okay. So that choice to deal with being overwhelmed can be an incorrect choice. That would be a sin choice. Yeah. Bobby. It reminds me about the bear chasing the guy, and he said, I just have to be faster than you, kind of thing to his friend. I don't know why I thought of that joke, but. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here. It can be self-conflicted, you know, kind of. I pull my stuff up out of my own bootstraps, you know,
mm-hmm.
thinking that it's yourself that did this, and that it wasn't. It was God.
Yeah. Yeah. Dear. Now, I know some people in my life lately, they're overwhelmed. They ought to be. I mean, you look at the stuff that they've had to deal with in a very short period of time, it's just, and it's not just one kind of thing. It's like one thing from over here, one thing from over here, and it's just, it's huge. All of a sudden. The problem, I think, that comes in for a lot of people is when there's emotion that is tacked on to the things that are causing us to be overwhelmed. And, you know, whenever you're talking about grief or loss or change, you know, those things are really big on the scale. When we encounter a lot of those, the emotional impact of that, you know, those are things that are inflicted upon us instead of choices. You know, and that sometimes kind of takes the feeling part in the different direction. Because even though we know things, we struggle with the feeling part. And some of us don't have any troubles with the feeling part. Some of us have to process the feeling part over a long period of time. So we're different. God made us that way. Let's go to that next question, John. So what is God's ultimate goal for you? And take a step back for a minute and look at what we're talking about from a little different perspective. For you and me, what is God's ultimate goal for us? More than conquer, okay? Yes. Okay, stay in His presence, be with Him. Obedience. Okay. Bobby? Yes, that's true. And Terry gets the ding, 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 okay, for the day, okay? Which is God's ultimate purpose for us that we cannot miss is that we would look like Jesus, that we would be more like Jesus. Did Jesus have an easy road? Ouch. To be like Jesus is not to have a clean, antiseptic experience in life. Was Jesus overwhelmed sometimes? Yeah. I think the human part of Him sometimes when He looked out and saw all those people and they were all coming to Him, there's only one of Him at the time. Now the disciples were still in the knucklehead stage. They couldn't even get, you know, who's going to sit at your right hand first kind of thing. Next question, John. So when you're overwhelmed and God feels far away, how do you know that He loves you? Because your feeler is stuck. Your feeler's stuck at where's God? Because you're overwhelmed. See? Faith. Hold that thought. Did you hear what he said? He said you got to get you go back to that Job, sink your feet in the earth with the resolve that I know that my Redeemer lives. We're going to go there in a minute. Okay? All right. These four questions we're going to come back to in a couple minutes. But we're going to go jump into the Bible for a minute. Go to Romans chapter 8. Most of what we do is going to be Romans chapter 8. And I'm not reading this. I need somebody else to read for me. We're going to start with Romans 8, 16 and 17.
Testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share His suffering in order that we may also share in His glory.
So, that's just a reminder that the way is not easy, that it's messy. We're going to be like Jesus when we share His sufferings, right? It's not just all Tipper Jones hitting a grand slam to win the game. Okay. Next passage. Romans 18 through 25. Somebody read that for us, please. When you're overwhelmed, what do? All right, guys. I don't know if the gals do this, but I know the guys do this. What do? Tim the Toolman Taylor, what do? We growl, we groan. What does that passage say? It isn't just us, brothers and sisters. It's the whole world. It's all of creation. All of creation is overwhelmed. Because we're not yet what we know we want to be, or who we're going to be, or what it's going to be. And in the middle, it's messy. Is this making sense? So what do we learn in 18 through 25 besides we're all in the middle of being overwhelmed? From this passage, what do we learn beyond the fact that we're all and all creation is overwhelmed with what is coming against it? What else do we see here? Okay. We know the end of the story. Do you know the end of the story? Because honestly, the end of the story is what got my attention whenever I was overwhelmed. Freshman of college. Girlfriend dropped me. Cold. My heart hurt. I didn't understand the world. I certainly didn't understand what love was all about. So some funny thing drove me to my Bible. Seriously. All by myself. No track. Nobody telling me anything. I just knew that I had been in church all my life and I had never read the end of that stupid story. I knew a lot about the Bible. I knew all the stories in the Bible, but I had never read my way through Revelation. Did I understand it? Nope. But I was dumb enough to know this one thing. As an athlete, I could look at the end of the story and somebody wins and somebody loses. And I wanted to be on the winning side. Which meant that I had to change my life and let God do something different in me. And the way that I had been doing it was pretty fruitless at that point. Something had to change. It was me. I was overwhelmed. I was at the end of my rope. I had no answers. I was groaning in the inmost parts of my being. Or something better. And when we're overwhelmed, that's what we do. And that's the beginning point. God has placed inside each one of us this desire that nothing we experience here will ever satisfy. So when you add all the stuff that comes against us on this desire that we have for things to be heaven, we easily get overwhelmed. But we do have that promise that Stephen was telling us about. We have the promise that Paul was talking about in those last two verses there when he says, "For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." I'm going to be honest with you, whenever I'm overwhelmed, that is not the word that I want to hear. Do not tell me I have to be patient, because I want salvation now. And you do too. But that's not what happened for Jesus. And it's not what's going to happen for us. That makes sense? Because we want to act like salvation means we no longer have to deal with the crap. Forgive me. But that is the way it is. Because life is messy. I use that word in church again. I'll dance. But we deal with messy stuff. Okay, next part of Romans, and then we're going to jump over to another passage. Romans 8:26 and 27. Someone read, please. Okay. So when we're overwhelmed, what do we see here? Okay, Stephen. God's already working. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Now, whatever you believe, one way or the other, about tongues, you know, groans here is pretty close to it. I can't say a word because there's something going on within me that has got me in such turmoil in this case. And it takes the Holy Spirit to interpret the turmoil within my spirit. And it takes that and it can communicate it to God and interpret it to God. That's a pretty miraculous thing. And that my point of allowing God to do that when my heart is empty, I'm humiliated, I'm to the end of my rope, I'm at the point where I'll let God do anything because I realize that what I've been doing doesn't work. Then the Spirit interprets. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. Whoever gets to Hebrews 12 first, be bold and let's look at that. Okay, Miss Jerry, thank you. So what do we learn there? Okay. Being overwhelmed in the hardships we face is something God's using in our lives, right? Stephen? It has purpose. All of it has purpose. One of the things that wears us out when we're overwhelmed is we don't see that. We lose track of the purpose. And it seems meaningless. That suffering is just suffering. Hardship is just hardship. Circumstances are just random. There is no sovereignty of God. And when we choose that rabbit hole response, we can believe anything we pretty well want to because we have secluded ourselves off. But if we don't do that and we stay right in the middle of where God wants us to be, with God, around His people, even though it sometimes is awkward and painful for us, that is where we need to be. Does that make sense? The point is, we have to come to a point where we are turning and we are trusting because there's nothing else to do. Now, what God wants us to know is the sooner we get there, the better. We're the ones who make it painful and hard and sometimes drawn out. Okay. Let's go to the next part of Romans. 8:28 now, what Claudia read just a minute ago, but we're going to go a little bit farther. So 8:28 through 36, I'm going to read the first half of this, then I'm going to let somebody else read 31 through 36. I'm going to read 28 through 30. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. See, like Jesus. That He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. Now you don't see that yet, but it's a fact. It's a reality. Somebody read 31 through 36, please. You can stop there. You're good. You're good.
You're good.
That's good. All right. What does John 3:16 tell us? We all have that memorized somewhere in the back of our memory banks, right? For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved, and put your name in there, enough that Jesus would come for you. But you know, when we're in the middle of being overwhelmed, even though we know that to be true, we're at our most vulnerable. When we are overwhelmed, we are at a great point and we're at a perilous point at the same time. The great point is we're about to humble ourselves and turn to God and listen to Him and let Him be God. But we're also at a perilous point because equally we have an enemy that would come in and accuse. Now that's what the Job part is about. Okay? If you look at Job 22, 2 through 11, see what happens sometimes. Let's see if you can flip there. Job 22, 2 through 11. And I have to flip in mine too. Now, what we have right there is a friend of Job. He's come to tell his friend why all the stuff has happened to him. He's saying, Job, you're overwhelmed because you're a sinner. And the enemy, whenever we are overwhelmed with all the stuff that happens to us, comes to us and says, you are overwhelmed because you are broke. You're not tough like you think you are. And our first reaction might be that we believe that. That's the accuser. Those are the messages that we hear. Why do Christians get sick? Why do bad things happen to good people? The accuser will come and say, you're broke. There's something wrong with you. There is no God. You're a stupid, mindless idiot. That's the accuser. But you know, that's not the end of the story. You got Job 24, 1 through 12. You know, Job's not playing that game. He's a little bit smarter than his bud Eliphaz. And fortunately enough for you and me, he had the gumption to kind of give it back to him. Listen to what he says. Why does the Almighty not set times for judgment? And why must those who know Him look in vain for such days? Men move boundary stones, they pasture flocks, they have stolen, they drive away the orphan's donkey and take the widow's oxen pledge. He's saying bad things happen, people do things like that. People are broke. You're right. So all these things are going on. The fatherless child is snatched from the breast. An infant of the poor is seized for debt. Lacking clothes, they go about naked. They carry sheaves, but still go on hungry. They crush olives among the terraces. They tread the winepress, yet suffer thirst. The groans of the dying rise from the city, and the souls of the wounded cry out for help. But God charges no one with wrongdoing. It looks that way, doesn't it? Job saying, yeah, I see what you're talking about. I see how you're seeing it. But is that the way that it really is? Is it really? John, flip that last passage up. There we go. Let's look at Romans 8, 37, 39. Someone read that. This is the fun one. You ought to read this one loud. That's truth. That's what gets us through being overwhelmed. It's the choice to listen to God, not the accuser. Does that mean all the stuff goes away? Okay, there is a vein in American Christianity that says, if you're right with Jesus, everything that's bad goes away. Sorry, I don't believe it. It's a lie. Because that's not what made Jesus Jesus. Jesus suffered and died and then was resurrected. You and I are going to have to suffer, and more than likely, unless Jesus comes back before we pass away, we're going to die, and then we're going to get resurrected. That's the way it works. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Love to read it. Read it all the time, especially at funerals for people we love. Because it's true, and we need hope in the middle of being overwhelmed with the despair of losing a loved one.
Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
There's the truth. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. When you're overwhelmed, stay at that place where you are humble before God, where you are seeking Him, and know that even in your groans, if you are turning to Him, that the Spirit is interceding for you. And it doesn't matter what the accusing is that comes against you. Don't listen to it. Stay right there. First Peter says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and what will He do? He will lift you up. Too many times we're running. Too many times we're trying to lift ourselves up when we need to stay humble. We need to stay empty. We need to stay usable. It's a gift. It's a gift. One of the things that I think I've learned, and I haven't been overwhelmed like many of you, have just had amazing things, you know, happen all around you and in your life, and I haven't experienced much of that. But I know that sometimes the times where I've grown the most has been whenever I have finally acknowledged I'm overwhelmed. There's not a thing I can do. I need help. I'm at the end of my rope, and now, God, I'll let you be God. Just being honest. So we're at a great point, even though it's also a very heavy point. Because when we're overwhelmed, there's just one breath away from God doing remarkable things in us. And from us knowing Him in a way we've never known Him before. But how many of us want to walk into being overwhelmed? How many of us run from being overwhelmed? Is God saying things to you today? Is He speaking to you? I mean, it may not be about anything that I've said. I can live with that. It doesn't matter to me a bit. The important things that you hear from God. And then there are people, I can think of five people I know. It's huge stuff. No, I'm just saying. And I think that our numbers are going to increase. It's, yeah, the huge stuff. Now, I'm just telling you the way it is, okay? That we need each other more than we ever need each other before. There's no doubt about that. I'm going to let John go to the last. We're going to skip the questions. You knew what the questions we started on. I'm going to skip that. I don't want to do that. We're going to go straight to the video. Y'all just close your eyes and you know the song. You've heard it before. I just think it speaks right straight to where we are. So, John.
Down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. As the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain. God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands. You are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I cry, you hold in your hand. You never left my side, and though my heart is torn,
let's pray. Lord, we submit ourselves to you this morning. Lord, I'm asking that You would be with those that we know who are overwhelmed today. Lord, circumstances they can't control, emotions that they don't understand. Lord, they're at a point where they need You, and I'm asking that, Lord, they would turn to You, that they would not put any reservations or objections or blocks before You, but they would just humble themselves. Lord, I pray that they would allow Your Spirit to intercede for them when they're hurting. And Lord, today for us, Lord, there are people here today as we share our time together who have just endured. And Lord, I'm praying that You would help them to seek You and to love You and to know You in a way that they have never known You before. That Lord, You would lift them up, and that they would be a trophy of Your grace and Your mercy. And that Lord, as we all encounter times like this, that that is the way that we would deal with it. Lord God, we thank You that You love us and that You show it every single day. Thank You. In Jesus' name. Amen.